Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with Repack. Does your business use the three bin system? Learn more about your legal recycling obligations at repack.ie.
Now, in the Green Scene today, social learning in orangutans, but first, how ants' reproductions break the rules of biology. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland. Ruth, I've been trying to get my head around this since you told me you were doing it. Yeah. I mean, it's extraordinary behaviour.
It's pretty complicated. And you're right. This is time for us to kind of tear up the textbook. Anything that we learned about biology in school is about to go out the window, because many of us who study biology will have learned, for example, the definition of a species. And a species is a group of individuals who can reproduce and produce fertile offspring. But ants and many insects have always been sort of at the edges of the rules anyway. So what happens most of the time in ant colonies and other insects is you have a queen, and then you have the colony, and in the colony you have the males who are there really just for reproduction, and then you have the sterile female workers who do all the work. They build the colony and they look after the babies.
Sounds like humankind.
Well, you said it, Pat, not me. But so we know that. And the way the ant, the queen does is she has what's called a nuptial flight. So she has wings initially, and she goes out in a big swarm with males, and she mates with those males, and she gets
loads of different ones,
and she gets enough sperm to keep her going for her lifetime. She then goes into the colony, her wings fall off, and she uses that sperm. She stores it in a special little pouch, and she fertilizes some of her own eggs, the ones that she wants to turn into males. So that's what normally happens, and it's already pretty complicated. But what we've seen is that in a number of species, these queens have lost the ability to produce males and females, and they need to produce both to keep the colony going. So sometimes what they've done is they've hybridized with another species to create viable male and female offspring. So sometimes they will use the sperm from another species to produce hybrid daughters, but they work, and the hybrid daughters do the job they're meant to do, and they don't need to be fertile anyway. But of course, you might ask the question, what happens if, when you go out for your nuptial flight, there's none of this other species around? And that's what tweaked the interest of researchers in Spain. So they were looking at this harvester ant, the Iberian harvester ant, and they saw that in the colony, there was males of a completely different ant species, even though there was none of them around. So this was a mystery that they've been trying to untangle for years.
Where did she get the sperm from?
And actually, when they did a genetic analysis of the males that were in the colony, they found that apart from having a tiny bit of her mitochondrial DNA, they were clones. So they were all exactly the same, and they didn't have any of her maternal DNA. So this was quite astounding.
Where did they come from?
And it seems like many years ago, a queen harvester ant did mate with one of these other smooth ants, but actually then cloned that male. And there is a lineage of males now living in these colonies, and their only purpose is to provide the queen with sperm so that she can produce fertile hybrid worker daughters. So the researchers looked at hundreds of different ants, and they sequenced the DNA of them, and they still didn't really believe that this was possible. So they actually set up artificial colonies in labs, in big incubators, and they watched them on a daily, almost hourly basis for 2 years, until they could actually watch an Iberian harvester ant queen lay an egg, that they actually could see the egg, and then they could see the smooth harvester ant coming out of that egg.
And she hadn't mated with anybody.
No, she'd been in a controlled lab condition. So this is kind of ripping up the rule book of so many things, which is why it was published in Nature last week, and people have been so excited about this story, because it questions the whole nature of what a species even is. It's a really exciting
study. The manner of reproduction, it is quite extraordinary.
Quite extraordinary. And it's amazing because kind of evolution finds a way, in the famous Jurassic Park quote, even in situations where there's, everything is against a species, you find a way.
That's extraordinary. I mean, I'm still trying to get my head around it. This is going down the generations.
And it's quite possible that original harvester ant, the male, that could have been many generations ago. Now, there is a problem here because, of course, with a very restricted genetic line, you can get issues. And it does seem like mutations are accumulating in this poor line of hybrid, essentially domesticated animals that the ants are keeping.
So if you have intellectual impairment, such as the intellect of the ant, you may get behavioural changes.
Or even just physically, they may be less fit, you know, to keep going. But I think, you know, it's one of those things, the more we learn about what is going on in nature, the more it challenges our assumptions that we understand anything at all.
Now, talk to me about the orangutan and nesting and learning how to nest. And we were talking during the break about birds that come out of an egg and never see a nest being built. How do they know how to build a nest?
And there's so many examples in nature of little babies being born and essentially being left. You know, even think about those little sea turtles that are, you know, an egg is planted on a beach and then the parent leaves. The little sea turtle hatches and knows to get down into the sea and undertake these extraordinary migrations. So instinct is an incredible thing and we don't fully understand it. But we do know that it's not just instinct, particularly in primates. There is learning involved. So we've been trying to understand the impact of learning in orangutans. Well, researchers from the University of Warwick. So they watched the Sumatran orangutan over many, many years, and they were able to see that those young who spent a lot of time studying their mothers making nests, they call it peering, were much better at going on to learn to build their own nest. And you could see the youngsters, when they saw their mother building a nest, they would sort of try out building small versions of nests, even though they didn't need one yet. And they would also then start to watch other experienced nest builders, and they would use elements of nest building that they learned from different orangutans into their own nest building.
There's a story of an English setter who just sat down under the tree while the farmer was teaching the other siblings from the litter how to do things. Never did it himself, and then got up and did it.
Yeah.
Watching.
And I suppose it's not really that surprising. And I mean, even just to show how learning can spread through populations, researchers in Brazil had two groups of monkeys, and they taught them two different ways to solve a puzzle in separate groups. And then they put them together to see what would happen. And actually, it didn't take very long for all the monkeys to learn both ways of solving the puzzle. So a nest, there's one big dominant male who's sort of stopping people from learning, which can happen in primate groups. In social groups, we see learning travelling really, really quickly. And the reason why this is important is with sort of damage to habitats and environments, we're seeing fragmentation. And primates are really, you know, one of the species that's hugely impacted by this, particularly, you know, the great apes like the chimpanzees and the orangutans. So we're sort of taking away, potentially, away for information, important information, to move between groups of species and even within them if there are fewer individuals to learn from.
Because it is quite extraordinary when you can observe creatures in the wild, which, of course, David Attenborough has done for us on our televisions, how extraordinary it is the things that creatures can do.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we've talked before, we often think we are the only ones with incredible skills and these incredible intellects, but it just means we just have to look a bit more closely, and actually we see they are everywhere. And in fact, there are skills that we couldn't even hope to possess in other parts of the animal kingdom. So, you know, it's humbling, I think, when we read about these kind of studies and we see what's going on everywhere else.
Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland, thank you very much.